like to say good morning to everybody. It's always a joy for me to come and to study God's word with brothers and sisters. First of all, I'd like to say this is my first time to have an opportunity to speak. And I want to thank all the brethren that I have met and learned, Brother Don specifically, for having confidence enough to ask me to come. I don't get in a hurry. I retired 22 years ago, and I worked 30 years before I took a vacation to get my kids through college. I retired 23 years ago and I ain't been in a hurry in 23 years. So I might be a little slow in my speech, but it is to make sure that I can paint a picture that we can see that helps me to understand the character and the nature that I must have to follow God's word and to be obedient. To me, the most important thing about teaching God's word is when I leave this building, or we leave this building, we'll have more information that we can use to live a better life, to help our brothers and sisters who are weak, and to help us to be better Christians, and to give us the zeal to carry God's word to a lost nation of people. Sometimes I get emotional when I look at the world. And the amount of religious confusion. The world is ready to hear the truth. And I encourage us to be willing to learn the gospel that we can take and share to a lost world. There's nobody to go. The field is ripe and it's ready to be harvested. I will be speaking from the verses number 4. From Matthew's, the 5th chapter in the Beatitude. And it read, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The word mourn, for me to better understand it, I have to go back to the Greek text to get an idea what the writer is trying to teach us, that is Jesus. And we're all familiar with the Greek text, vines and strongs, numbering of the words. Most of those words had more than one meaning. But we're going to look at chapter 5 and verses 4, as what mourns means, that we'll have a better understanding of how is it that God expects us to live and what causes us to mourn. We're going to look at mourn as a noun. We're going to look at it in general speaking. And we're going to look at mourns from the trials and the temptations that we're going to experience in our everyday lives and living for Christ. So when I go back to the Greek word, and it's translated to English, the word pronounced is pyramos, P-I-R-A-S-M-O-S. And we all know that those words are numbered. And that word number is 3985. And it's translated, and it's used about, there was 5,624 words, and it is word 3985. What it means? It means putting to proof by experiment of good, experiments of evil, by solicitation, discipling, or provocation, and by implication, adversity and temptation. So we're going to have adversity and temptations in our lives as Christians as we go and share the word in a lost and dark world. Also, as we try to help one another in areas where we are weak, there will be times that we know that things that should be said to help us. But we're not going to be received in open arms. But as we learn to mourn, it will give us the strength to endure and to understand how God will provide a way of escape for some things that we don't have to experience. We'll get down to that later on. We're going to look to mourn as a noun. And it is pronounced as P-I-E-R-A-Z-O, parazos. And that's also from 3985. And what it means, to make trials, it means to try, it means to tempt. A trial is to prove, a putting to the test, spoken of persons only, that will be tested. And in our testing, this is a part of the mourning that we must endure. In general speaking, these trials are trials of one's virtue. Our temptation, our solicitation to sin, especially from Satan. As in Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 13. We can go down and look at that. Luke, the 4th and 13. And it reads, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." So it lets us understand that we're going to be tempted. Satan's going to leave, but he ain't going to leave forever. He'll return. But knowing that the temptations, being aware that we'll be able to withstand those temptations. Mourns, as we look at it from the trials. How can we benefit from trials and temptation? They are a state of trials in which God brings his peoples through adversity and afflictions in order to encourage and to prove our faith and confidence in Him. You know, sometimes in our trials, we might get our home burned all the way to the ground. Tornado might come and blow everything away. We might lose a loved one to drugs or in an accident. We might be sued by someone and lose, and some of our possessions is taken away. But in order to keep our focus on Christ, we can endure those. These are some of the things that cause, this is the mourning that we're going to experience that Jesus is talking about. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 13, he said, "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Out of all the hardship and the temptation and the trials that we have, God has provided a way to escape. But we got to look for it. What does it really mean that He has provided a way to escape? If we know that I-20 is going to, at the end of it, there's partying and good time and drinking and having a good sports and everything as well. The route of escape is don't get on I-20. If we know what alcohol will do to our body and drugs, don't go around people that do it. That's our escape. The Lord has made it simple. And sometimes men make it complicated because we have added or taken away from God's word that we just kind of cloud it up and fog it up and we just can't see the truth. Hence, trials and temptation used by metonymy for adversity, affliction, sorrow. In Luke 22, the 22nd chapter, verses 28 and 29, it reads, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation." 29. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. When Christ uses us to pray that God would not lead us or allow us to go into primos or go into mourn. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 13, 26, and 41, he is evidently referring to these enticements to sin, that we might not be able to resist in our present state of spiritual growth So when we get the idea of Satan present the idea to us of a situation that would draw us and cause us to sin, and we are aware of it, then we get down and we pray and ask God to give us strength that we'll be able to resist it. Some of the conclusion. When we read Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verses 4, and we understand about mourn, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the suffering that they are going to endure in their lifestyle to remain faithful. Also in the commission that he gave the disciples to go into a world and preach and share the gospel. We're going to be talked about by the world and sometime in the church. We're going to receive sometime physical attacks. But listen to what Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. If we mourn, we're going to be comforted. In John, the 15th chapter, verses 18 and 19, this is a message Jesus had for his disciples. Jesus said, if the world hath you, ye know that it hated me first. Verses 19, if ye were of the world loves his own. But because ye are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 22. Jesus said, all men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So the final message is that to mourn is to be able to suffer and to endure all of our natural physical life. And the reward will be eternal life with Jesus. I want to thank you for your tentative attention, and I hope that these few words will help us to live better, have a desire to take God's word to a lost world. Thank you.